Well, the story, of course, was yesterday what happened at Mercedes-Benz. We can call it that now because Atlanta Stadium is no more. Back to the Benz. It was electrified. We talked about it downtown yesterday. You might have heard Jason last night, Jason Longshore. We got Chris Turtle Thomas coming up tonight at 6 o'clock after Dukes and Bell. But it was bananas, and I was in the middle of all of that along with Carl as we were driving home, where they were taking Marta. But to see all the Argentinian fans and, needless to say, just going bananas. The video of the Argentine fans an hour after the match had concluded, still hanging out inside of the Benz, screaming, cheering, you know, singing their songs. It's just amazing stuff. But that's the big story. And now, of course, there are repercussions over in England. Why did the coach put him into a shell, Carl? The analysis from everybody is basically the team started retreating, and the coach didn't do anything to stop it. And then eventually said, well, if you're going backwards, I better sub in some more defenders. Then you had like, well, everybody was a defender, and you still found a way to make some amazing shots to win the match. So in England, they're losing their minds because they thought this is arguably their best shot in 60 years.
It was. And look, the momentum, I said this to Mike as we talked about this. In football games, I'm talking about our football, American football, we talk about this all the time, right? Big momentum change moment, a shift. And you kind of felt that happening yesterday in that match as Argentina was putting on the pressure and England was just freaking out. Big O, can we play the Harry Kane soundbite where he talked about them struggling to keep the momentum? Because I thought this was a perfect way to put it as right. England is searching for answers. And it's pretty easy, guys. You let your foot off the gas pedal right. and you played timid, and it allowed Argentina to gain momentum. And then all of a sudden they had all this confidence. And Mike, look, down there at Skoll Brewing, we were like, these guys are not, they're taking shot after shot.
There was about 4 or 5 minutes after England scored where Argentina was on its back feet.
Yes.
And it was like a body shot because it felt like one goal might just win this. I know Carl was feeling that way. He wanted to go home at 6. But it was funny how, you know, England just, it's almost like, well, that's it. We've got it. What? I guess the same approach you tried in the Revolutionary War, Carl, didn't work again for you, for crying out loud.
Let's hear Harry Kane. Here's what he said about what he thought went wrong.
I feel like we struggled to keep the momentum of the game. We've done so well for that kind of 60 minutes. We scored. We deserved to be ahead. And then for one reason or another, we struggled to keep the ball. We struggled to put pressure on the ball. And it just allowed them to create more momentum. It created more attacks for them in our final third. And then, yeah, it's a normal mindset to try and hang on and try and hang on to the one-goal lead. But you know, we're still 20 minutes plus stoppage time to go. It was always going to be a long time. So, yeah, we're going to have to watch the game back and find out exactly how we can improve in those situations.
You, Mike, you had two of the world's best strikers, and you told them to go play defense. That's what you did with Harry Kane and Bellinger, right?
Bellingham.
You basically said, don't attack. And that's how it felt. Now, look, the match itself was amazing, and congratulations again to Argentina. But I want to just take a second out also to just say, well done, Atlanta.
Heck yeah.
Well done. The World Cup concluded yesterday with a phenomenal match. The guesstimate numbers are out there. 500,000 people estimated traveled through Atlanta during this tournament.
Mm.
That was 5 weeks or so, guys, maybe even six heading into the tournament. Over 275,000 people visited the Fan Fest at Centennial Olympic Park. That's not to include all the other places that were just cool to go hang out and watch these matches and be a part of it. So I thought the city did a great job of having activities, Mike, and things to do even for those who didn't have tickets.
Right.
And then if you had tickets, obviously you experienced something that, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal. And we talk about sports bucket list. This is one of them. You probably will not see another World Cup in our country for another, what'd you say, 12, 15 years?
Well, I mean, one thing for certain, I mean, Arthur Blank's right in the middle of it. He built this stadium with events like this in mind, and, you know, between Atlanta United and, of course, as we said, just simply the dimensions of it, Carl. So you got a stadium you can use for a World Cup. It seemed like when this first got built, we're like, World Cup? Oh, yeah. But it seemed like a distant memory.
It did. It was
and here
so
it is.
Far
it's
away.
Come and gone. But I do think that, and this is nothing you haven't already seen or read, but all the Europeans, people that came from all over the world, loving America, and taking, you know, some things we take for granted. We've got the stadiums. We got the infrastructure. If you award this to some country with some tin pot dictator, they got to put this together. We got everything ready to go. It's turkey. Here in the States. So maybe, just maybe, we get it back within three World Cups. It would be 12 years.
Yeah. I never thought I'd be saying, can't wait till it comes back. But I am.
And it's legitimate opportunity for us.
But I had a ball in watching this. And again, you know, it's one of those things I think a lot of people were like, well, yeah, man, I'll check it out. I don't know what I'll think. And then people literally got into it. And if you didn't have, you know, again, I think most of us from America were rooting for the U.S. men's national team. But even after we got beat, you know, it was like you had all these other great stories. And that was the cool thing. You could jump onto something and say, all right, I want this team to win. Because I remember, you know, you asked me, and I said, Norway. Because I liked the vibe. I liked what was going on. It was cool. They lost. And I said, I told you yesterday, I don't have a rooting interest. I don't want to, you know, just give me a good match, man. And they did. And now I'm telling you, I want Argentina to win because I want to see history.
Right. But the feeling is Spain is a juggernaut. And Spain is loaded, and they play great defense, and nobody scores on these guys. And the other thing, the other byproduct, Oren can speak to this, is that goalkeeper for the Cape Verde Islands, he basically was able to skunk these guys in regulation.
Yeah, that's true.
It's amazing. Both teams in the final, which is something, which is another one of those cool stories. That was also partly based here in Metro Atlanta with Cape Verde. But getting back to your point, there's a ceiling for soccer in America. Until our better athletes play it and we bust through. I think for the casual fan, a guy right now who's listening who's a Braves fan or a Falcons fan who doesn't care about soccer, he can't get past the flopping. He can't get past the stoppage time, which makes no sense. And I get that from an American fan standpoint. But there's still some things that I think hopefully MLS will reap the benefits of, but you're going toe-to-toe with the NFL next year.
It's going to be interesting. All right, before we get out of here, we need to give you an update from the Open Championship, which is brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your local trusted fiduciary advisors, and by Bobby Jones Golf Course. Golf open for everyone, and Twin Peaks eat, drinks, and scenic views. As we look at the leaderboard, guys, round one over at Royal Birkdale is done.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you, Oren. Some appropriate music from across the pond. Where they're licking their wounds, losing to Argentina. By the way, the coach, you're the coach. Complain about the refs. I don't think England gets to complain about refs, okay, for a few years after their path to the cup. Anyway, Jackson Suber?
Who's
never heard of him.
Who?
He went to Ole Miss. His mom knows who he is. He's been on tour for a couple of years. He's his best finish, I looked it up earlier, was a fourth at the Byron Nelson this year.
Okay.
So he's, again, will he be there on Sunday? That's a big if. But he's a guy who's grinding, and he's at 5-under, and no one's ever heard of him. Sung Jae Im from Korea. South Korea, that is.
Playing
4-under.
Well.
You got a guy from England, Daniel Brown at 4-under. Thomas Detry from Belgium, 8-under. Robert McIntyre, he's at 8-under. Francesco Molinari. From Italy at 3-under. Let's get to the Americans. Where's the Americans?
Where are they?
Well, he's leaving the thing, man. But the guys you know, Bryson DeChambeau, he shot a 3-under today, and he was getting criticism from Sir Nick Faldo, who's very upset that anyone takes the spotlight away from Sir Nick Faldo. But he felt that Bryson didn't have a plan. Remember, he didn't make the cut for the other majors. You like what you saw from Bryson attacking Royal Birkdale?
I did. He did have a plan. He was making sure, Mike, that he was putting in his drives. He can drive it anywhere he wants, but put it where it's not in trouble. And, you know, the big thing there is the bunkers, guys. You're going to see it all weekend. You put yourself in danger there. There are 123 bunkers on this course, but he played really well today, and I thought he strategized, which is what he hasn't done in a lot of situations, where he just hits the hell out of the ball, and then I'll make it up down there.
Right.
I'm going to outdrive everybody, and it's just that hasn't been a recipe. So I think he's playing well. If he plays like this the rest of the weekend, watch out.
So again, DeChambeau is in the mix, guys, at 3-under. We'll see what he does tomorrow. Scotty Scheffler.
What's going on with Scotty Scheffler?
He's just three shots back. He shot a 2-under. Again, guys, maybe Suber hangs on. We've already seen guys like Aaron Rye win his PGA Championship, but he's won on tour.
Yes.
You know, and may JJ Spahn won, and he's hanging around. Spahn, by the way, is even par. Aaron Rye, who won the PGA Championship, he's at 1-over. Xander Schauffele at 1-over. Maverick McNeely at 1-over. But more of those names you're looking at. Scheffler, you think the putting's going to come together for him?
I do. I mentioned this. He started off hot, man. I mean, how hot? He made four birdies on the first six holes.
Oh, man.
So he grabbed an early lead. He was 4-under at one point.
Right.
So, yeah, I think, and he could have been 4-under to finish the round. He took a bogey on 17. But, yes, yeah, Scotty, and I said this to you last week, because we were both like, man, he's wobbling. He might not win this year, a major. I think he's going to be right there on Sunday. And real quick, talking about DeChambeau, he had 15 greens in regulation.
That's big. That's huge.
That's the key, Mike.
Again, sometimes it's like, hey, big fella, take a little off, right? By the way, he's rocking an evil Bryson DeChambeau. See that Fu Manchu?
Oh, I saw
kinda
that.
Kind of looks like Joe Namath, like circa 1973. let's see here.
Wait. What about Tommy Fleetwood?
Tommy Fleetwood? I've got odds on Tommy Fleetwood. What? He's not going to win. He's going to choke.
Oh, don't say that.
1-under. John Rahm from Live at 1-under. Let's see. Colin Morikawa, two-time major winner at 2-under.
Okay.
So some of those names that you recognize. And Shane Lowry, the human filibuster, hit the ball already, big guy. He's at 1-under. So a lot of guys with experience winning the big one. And we'll see. I love waking up on Saturday and Sunday to watch the British.
You said John Rahm's 1-under, man. Yeah. Okay, he's in the mix.
Right.
Look, I didn't know what he did today. I didn't get a chance to see. But
Terrell Hatton, he has not done anything crazy. He's a guy who loses. He's like Yosemite Sam. He loses his mind. He's also at 1-under from the UK. But we'll see. Remember, Phil's not in this one.
No, he's not.
Phil's not doing anything.
No, he's not. Well, except getting kicked out of clubs.
Yeah, that's true, man. That's neither here nor there. So again, stay tuned, and we'll see what happens. But Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau, some of those names. Rory. Rory was very mediocre today, too. Rory's like, what, 1-over?
Yeah, man, his putter, his flat stick let him down. I mean, he was in position a bunch. Just couldn't hit putts. He was on the edges all day.
Where is he? I can't even find him. Where is he? I'm looking for him.
I think he's plus two, Mike.
Okay, that's why I can't find him.
Yeah, I think he's plus two.
Yeah, 2-over for the day. Rory's game is just so incomplete. But anyway, that's your British Open update from Royal Birthday.
All right, man. More of that tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we will get a chance to talk to Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO. Hawks have a new TV home. We will talk more about the Braves as the second half gets underway. And Mike said it. It's funny. A guy hit me up. He goes, Mike's right. All these other teams are going to do something, and we're not going to do anything. I didn't say that we're not going to do anything.
Right.
What I said was, you got to think about it from another perspective. There is a chance that they get look at this and go, if our offense gets where it needs to be,
right,
it changes how this team looks.
Because you really can't add a bat unless you want to add a bat to help out your outfield platoon. Right? Unless
you got all these guys coming back.
You're not going to trade for a big money shortstop. Not that one's going to be out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and anybody who's really good at shortstop that a team might maybe has a contract coming up, you're going to have to give all those prospects up. So
I don't want to give up Jack, by the way.
No.
I mean, I'm not being.
And nor has Alex ever been fleeced, really. No.
Well,
you know?
Like I said,
Shane Langeliers. Oh, yeah. Remember him? We saw him in the All-Star game, right?
The only reason I say that, guys, it's not because of this year. Chris Sale's not going to pitch forever. He's great. But you are literally setting up your rotation. You got three really good arms in Owen Murphy and J.R. Richie. And Richie's going to learn. And the kid we haven't seen in Cam Caminiti. Those three guys, Mike, look like the future. Now, they may not all pan out.
Right.
The organization will figure that out. But, like, right now, I'm going, And what's the kid that's killing it in Rome? We don't want to give him up either, right?
No. I mean, guys, there are some guys that are certainly untouchable.
Hartman, thank you.
Right, who's a phenom, and Grant got a chance to see him. Grant, he's off this. We give Grant a break for the All-Star break. He'll be back next week with us. But, like, all these questions, man, what does Alex Anthopoulos, what does Braves management think really, really behind closed doors? When you go to sleep at night at places you don't speak, what do you really think about this team? We're going to find out.
All right, man. We got to get out of here. Chris has got you covered. Stay there. He'll be on at 6. Let's clear our throat. Hey, we want to give a big shout out to Georgia Tech today. Today was ACC Media Days, and we had a chance to talk to their running back, Malachi Hosley. Kid came on. He ran for almost 700 yards last year, 7 touchdowns. He says the running back room is good.
Also said something very interesting.
He did say something interesting. Matter of fact, go check it out.
Yeah.
Odyssey.com. You can rewind the interview. But, Mike, he said everybody's buying in to Brent Key's, philosophy, right, as far as what they want to try to get accomplished this year. So,
and Goose calling the plays now.
Go check that out. Tomorrow we'll also get a chance, as Grant will be back, to talk about the start of the second half. Plenty of Braves conversation. And then we'll talk to our man Brian McFadden as well. B-Mac will be here to talk about the start of training camps, just literally a week away for rookies to report tomorrow. Our rookies report on the 24th. So big show on a Friday. Make sure you're here starting at 2. Big O, great job keeping us on track behind the glass. Day-Day, our executive producer. Mike Bell, let's get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
Yo, Mercedes-Benz. What you going to do with all that grass? I saw the videos of the grass already being torn up at Jerry World AT&T Stadium.
What are you saying, in your backyard or something?
I took the car today, but I can be there tomorrow with the F-150. I'll take all the grass you can sell me. I mean, the grass. I mean, the grass. Not
yes,
grass.
Yes, yes.
I mean, but I'm telling you, that sod looks beautiful. I wish NFL owners would simply eat it and, yes, buy the grass and find more grass and keep it growing and find a way, because it's better for your players' knees and Achilles when you're spending all this money on the salary cap. Don't you want your players to stay healthy? Seems like a short-sighted investment that they're not making. Keep the grass. I'll take your grass.
It's interesting. It really is. Hey, LeBron said he's not going to keep us waiting that much longer. How much longer, LeBron? Today, He revealed that he is not going to keep us waiting around. But the funny thing is, he was making a public appearance, and Tyrese Halliburton was co-hosting the Mind the Game podcast. And so they did this in public and, you know, in a public forum. And basically he asked him, so is there any decision? And LeBron was like, didn't we talk about this backstage? Bottom line is he's not ready to reveal, but don't you think he knows?
He knows.
He knows. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
You don't.
You shouldn't be in customer service. You should be digging ditches, pal.
I want to make one thing clear. There's only one Mr. Voice, and it's me. Got it?